All right, we are ready for the next case, United States against Pamela Marshall.
Good morning, Your Honor. It's Imani Shafei on behalf of Ms. Marshall. Your Honor, Ms. Marshall raises two issues in her appeal. The first issue is whether the district court erred in failing to consider a sentence below the advisory sentence and guidelines. And the second issue is whether the issues raised by Ms. Marshall at sentencing concerning her family circumstances and the health of her husband, and also her own mental health, were acceptable circumstances and the court's sentence was unreasonable. With regarding the first issue, post-Booker, the Seventh Circuit has held that district courts must do two things in determining a sentence. The first sentence is to calculate an advisory guideline range, and that was done by the district court in this case. The second thing that the Seventh Circuit has held, that district court must then consider the 3553A factors in whether determined to impose a sentence outside of that advisory guideline range. We submit, and Ms. Marshall submits, that the district court did not consider the 3553A factors in determining whether a sentence outside the guideline range was appropriate. In this case, the district court, when looking at the issues raised by Ms. Marshall, only considered those issues and trying to determine where in the advisory guideline range a sentence, what sentence she should give Ms. Marshall.
Now, she made a comment to that effect, but that followed, did it not, a comment where she actually discusses whether she thinks the advisory guideline range is reasonable. And there she says that she thinks the advisory range is at least reasonable and may even be, as she puts it, a bit on the low side. So isn't that enough of an indication in the record that she has, in fact, thought about the overall reasonableness of the sentencing options available to her?
We'll say no, Your Honor. The district court did make a comment about whether Ms. Marshall should get a sentence above the guidelines range. But when she was discussing that issue, she talked about what she considered some of the aggravating circumstances with regards to Ms. Marshall's sentencing or Ms. Marshall's conduct. But when she was directed to about mitigation or any circumstances which would mitigate Ms. Marshall's sentence, she specifically started looking at the mitigation issues raised by Ms. Marshall in determining where in the advisory guideline range sentence to give Ms. Marshall.
Well, it seemed like the judge was upset because she first acknowledged that she had the unopened mail and then later said it was planted on her. And the judge didn't believe that and wasn't very happy with her. I mean, that looks like the situation to me. I might be wrong.
I think that's correct. I think that's the issue that the district court pointed out, the aggravating circumstances that the district court pointed out, where she raised Ms. Marshall's testimony at trial and her affidavit at the motion to suppress, where Ms. Marshall argued that her confession wasn't involuntary and that she, in fact, did not confess. And the district court did find that to be aggravating, circumstances. However, we would note that Ms. Marshall was penalized for, we think, that conduct in determining the advisory guideline range, because she did receive an obstruction of justice enhancement in her advisory guideline range. And so we would submit that conduct was already factored into the advisory guideline range.
What if the judge is effectively just saying, you know, I've computed the advisory guideline range, I've listened to what you have to say, and it seems to me that a sentence somewhere in that range is a reasonable sentence? That is much, you know, I'm now looking at page 820 of your brief, which is where we have the sentencing transcript. It looks like it's page 14 of the sentencing transcript. And she specifically says, I find that the advisory sentencing guidelines of 10 to 16 months is not only reasonable under the aggravated circumstances of the case, it's a bit on the low side, and she goes on to explain. So she's not, she knows their advisory. She's not saying that she has to stay there. Why isn't that just another way of phrasing what we have asked the district judges to do?
I think, Your Honor, one might could accept that as what the district court was doing, but if you look further in the sentencing hearing, when confronted with Ms. Marshall's mitigation, she only looks at the mitigation in trying to determine where in the advisory guideline range to sentence Ms. Marshall. At no point does she look at the mitigation in the 3553A factors to determine whether a sentence outside of the guideline range would be appropriate.
Do you see any clue, given that she picks a 12-month sentence and the guideline range itself would have gone down to 10, that there was any interest on her part in going down to, say, 8?
I mean, it's clear that the district court was, for lack of a better word, bothered by what she perceived to be Ms. Marshall's dishonesty at trial and dishonesty in filing the affidavit. But we will submit that that conduct that the district court labeled as being aggravated was already taken care of in the advisory guideline range. And Ms. Marshall was punished, or the advisory guideline range took account of Ms. Marshall's testimony at trial, took account of her affidavit, and enhanced her two levels, which in this type of a low range was a few months.
Speaking of that, do you happen to know what her report date was? Because this was a 12-month sentence, and I'm seeing that your brief was filed September 27th of last year.
She reported in around mid-June, Your Honor.
Around mid-June. So the 12 months is rolling around quickly.
Yes, she's served approximately 8 months.
Okay.
Did she ask for release pending appeal?
We did not, Your Honor. I spoke with Ms. Marshall shortly before she surrendered. She and the family had, you know, through some hardship, tried to find a situation for her husband. They had done so. She kind of wanted to get started, try to make this as short as possible. And we didn't ask for an expedited hearing date because of my trial schedule, which had 3 or 4 trials during the summer months of last year.
What's her release date?
Her release date, she would have to serve the full 12 months. The court gave her 12 months and not the 12 months and a day, so it would be June of this year. I reserve the remainder of my time for rebuttal. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Mr. Young?
May it please the court, counsel. The district court appropriately calculated the advisory guideline range and then explained its basis for the conclusion that a sentence within that range was reasonable. In doing so, it discussed the nature and circumstances of the offense, which the court concluded was serious because, for among other reason, had the tendency to undermine confidence in the postal system.
Is there any money on the envelopes?
The envelopes were actually unopened.
So then they were delivered just a little late.
Well, the government still has custody of the envelopes themselves, Your Honors.
Oh, really?
There were...
Somebody might be waiting for a $50...
birthday present.
Some cash. These are Christmas cards in that, aren't they?
That's true, Your Honor. An unfortunate consequence of Ms. Marshall's conduct. There were also some open gift cards found in her purse. But for the most part, the letters that were found in her satchel on the day she left were unopened. The district court also discussed the characteristics of the defendant, noted her, most specifically, her post-offense conduct, which included not only submitting a false affidavit, but testifying falsely at trial, essentially accusing others of framing her for this offense, discussed the need to impose just punishment for the offense, rejected defendant's contentions that this was essentially a misdemeanor and should be punished as such, and discussed the need to promote respect for the law amongst not only other postal carriers, but Ms. Marshall as well. the judge clearly considered all the 3553 factors in not only determining that a sentence within the range was reasonable, but specifically that a sentence of 12 months is reasonable. There's simply no support for defendant's contention that the judge did not understand she could impose a lesser sentence if she felt such a sentence was reasonable. In addition to the references to the guidelines being advisory on at least two occasions, she also imposed a sentence of 12 months, which was towards the low end, but not at the low end. Certainly, if she felt she was constrained by the guidelines, the sentence would have been lower than 12 months. She also specifically discussed the matters raised by defendant, gave weight to one of them, in fact, and acknowledged she was imposing a lesser sentence because of that.
That was the illness of the husband?
That's correct, Your Honor. Judge Collin indicated that she would have ordinarily in this type of case imposed a sentence at the high end of the guideline range, which would have been 16 months, but in this case would impose one that was a little lower at 12 months. Now, the defendant obviously doesn't agree with the judge's weighing of the factors, but that is a matter that is left to the discretion of the court and not a reason for reversing her decision. For those reasons, we'd ask that the court affirm the sentence of the district court.
All right, thank you. Anything more, Mr. Shafay? All right, thank you very much. Thanks to both counsel, and we'll take the case under advisement.